Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Our word today comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. This is going to be fun. I'm going to tell you this right off the bat. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. Colossians 3, 18, 19, and it reads as follows. Mm-hmm. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. I want to speak today on the subject, a marriage of submission. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
The word submit, translated from the original Greek translation, mm-hmm. means to obey, mm-hmm. to be under obedience, to submit self.
Okay.
This particular scripture, verse 18, about wives submitting to their husbands, mm-hmm. has been quoted by men far more than by women. Okay? Mm-hmm. In fact, women don't read this scripture at all. Okay? You know. Mm-hmm. But men have been quoting this scripture, and their meaning for their wives submitting has nothing to do with what I'm going to speak about today. Mm-hmm. Men like to use this scripture regarding their wife being intimate with them. Mm. But I want to tell you that there's a whole lot more to this scripture than that.
Mm. Mm.
Okay, I'm going to start it off by speaking to the men, mm-hmm. regarding this scripture. Now, fellas, the scripture does say that wives should submit to their husbands. But the biggest question, or the bigger question, is why should they submit to you? Amen?
Yeah,
why should a woman submit to you? You see, men are considered the head of the household.
Right.
And their responsibility to the household is to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a leader leads by example more than by words.
That's the truth.
A leader in a biblical sense is a man who is connected with God.
Oh, wow.
So let me ask the men some questions regarding how our leadership is in the household. Mm-hmm. The first question, men, do we have a relationship with God? Let's start straight from the top. Do we have a relationship with God? Mm. Are we godly men or macho men? Mm-hmm. Now, macho man is a man who has a sense of entitlement and thinks that just because he is a man physically, that he has the right to dictate his household, his world. Mm. Now, why would a woman want to submit to this type of man who is ungodly and feels that it is his duty and right to rule women?
She don't do that.
Women, I'm getting a lot of comments from the women. A godly man has wisdom given by God through man's relationship with God. Question two, do we pray daily? Men, do you pray daily? A man should pray for himself and his household and ask for wisdom to guide his household. If you remember, Solomon asked for wisdom to rule over his kingdom.
Mm.
Well, we should be asking God to help us to rule over our household.
Mm.
And we should pray for everyone within the household, including ourselves. Now, question three.
Mm.
This is big. Do we pray with our wives?
Mm.
The family, I'm going to just put it simply. The family that prays together stays together.
Mm.
Question number four. Do we go fellowship or go to church with our wives?
Mm.
Many men have to be dragged to church by their women.
Mm.
Why? Number five. Do we respect our wives?
Mm.
A wife is a gift from God, and we need to respect her in every which way.
Mm.
Just telling her that she is supposed to submit because she's a woman is not a sign of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, is your wife your first priority, men? Do you put others first instead of her?
Mm.
Is the ball game more important than spending quality time with your wife?
Hmm.
Do you hang out with your fellas like you used to before you were married?
Wow.
I had to ask all these questions. Verse 19 says, husbands, love your wife and be not bitter against them. So let me go further into that. I will go back to the original question. Why should your wife submit to you when you, number one, don't have a relationship with God? Number two, don't pray daily or pray with her. Three, go to church enough or worship God with her. Mm-hmm. Number four, you don't respect your wife. Mm-hmm. You treat her like a lady. You need to be treating her like a lady. Mm-hmm. She is not a sex object, but your helpmate. And the other question is, why is your wife your first priority? Mm-hmm. God gave you this lady and she should be your first priority. Mm-hmm. Real men have their act together and can answer yes to all of the questions. Now here comes the fun part. Mm-hmm. Ladies, it is time to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Number one, ladies, do you support your man?
Okay.
If he is trying to do the right thing, he does pray, he goes to church, treats you respect, places you as a priority, his first priority, then why do you not submit to him? I know that in the past, I'm going to just throw it on out there, you have submitted yourselves to lesser men who gave you unfulfilled promises. You chose to marry this man who you call your husband. If you can submit to lesser men for who you're not even with anymore, then why you cannot commit to your husband is a major question. Number two, if your husband falls short in leading the household, why do you dog him, put him down, disrespect him by trying to lead yourself? Some ladies have been the leaders of their household because there's been no man present, and they had to take on both roles. Now you are in a marriage that no longer requires you to do everything. Ladies, please stop and let your man be the man he is supposed to be. You don't have to wear both hats. Mm-hmm. Number three, I'm not pulling any punches here, y'all. You probably noticed. Are you praying for your man? It is not an easy job being head of anything, let alone a household. Your husband has to make decisions based on the best interest of the household. Mm-hmm. Praying for your man will help him make the right decisions. Mm-hmm. It will also help your man if he is falling short in the areas that I spoke about earlier. Prayer helps, ladies. Number four, submitting to your husband does not make you less of a woman. Let me say that again. Submitting to your husband does not make you less of a woman. It does not make you inferior, as your role in a marriage is equally as important as the husband. When you gave your husband your hand in marriage, you basically told him that, you know what, darling, I trust you with my life. Mm-hmm. So the next question would not logically be, do you trust your husband enough to submit to him? Well, if you have any issues with your own identity and have any doubts regarding who you are and your purpose in life, then you will not submit no matter what. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I married a couple over 20 years ago, and I asked them to repeat after me as we did the vows. And back then, I said to love, honor, and obey. The husband-to-be said it with no problem. Got to the woman. I said, will you love, honor, and obey this man? She would not answer the question. I asked her again. She still would not answer the question. The crowd was mumbling. Some women were laughing. So I looked at her and said, will you love, honor, and obey this man? She finally, out of the side of her mouth, said yes. Out of the side of her mouth. I knew that she would never obey her husband. She just said yes so we could just move on with the ceremony. But her heart was not in it. So, ladies, is your heart in it? That's my question. I mean, it's not what you think when it says obey, okay? It doesn't mean that you're enslaved. You're his mate. You guys are one. Okay. Let me get away from that for a second. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I have posed several questions and I have made several points regarding marriage. Mm-hmm. And I want to take you to the word now to further clarify and give you an example of what true submission is in a marriage.
Okay.
I want to go to Genesis. I want to go all the way to the beginning. As you know, it's been in all the papers. God created man in chapter 2, verse 7. And then placed this man named Adam in the garden where he would tend to the garden. Then God formed every living creature and allowed Adam to name them. Verse 18 reads, "And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him." What really stood out to me was verses 21 through 25 of that same chapter 2 of Genesis.
Okay.
And I will read it, starting with verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he," meaning God, "took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." Verse 23, hugely important. "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his mom and his daddy and shall cleave upon his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." Now, if you notice that Adam, not God, named her woman because she was taken out of him. He even explains that she will become his priority in verse 24 when he stated that he will cleave to his wife and leave his mommy and daddy. They will be one flesh, on the same page, working together as a single unit and not two separate entities. Now, the reason God allowed Adam to name all creatures and tend to his garden, because God knew that he could trust Adam and that they had a relationship together. See, Adam trusted God and knew that everything that he needed was supplied by God and that God was there to keep and protect him. Adam was obedient to God in the garden. He had totally sold out to what God's plan was. He bought into the process, so to speak. And Adam even yielded his own will to God's will. Now, this didn't happen much in the Bible. Christ is the other example of someone who just sold out to the Father. In verse 25, it mentions that they were naked and were not ashamed nor embarrassed. Now, we could take that literally, but I want to take it a different way.
Okay.
Adam and Eve was totally exposed to each other, guys, meaning they had no secrets, no hidden agenda, no disrespect for each other, no baggage.
Yeah.
They trusted each other and were in love. Eve submitted to Adam, very important, because she knew that Adam was in tune with the Lord. And she followed that lead. It wasn't what Adam had said. It was his actions. Praise the Lord. She saw it and said, you know what? Adam's on it. Now, let's look at this for a second. Let's look at what Adam had to deal with here. He didn't have any worries. He had everything going on in that garden, right? He was one with God. He didn't have to worry about any problems. He didn't have to worry about, because Eve was the only woman there, he didn't have to worry about the other brothers hitting on his wife and all the other stuff that men would have to worry about with a woman. Conversely, there were things Eve didn't have to worry about either. You know, she didn't have to worry about Adam having a roving eye. What is he going to look at, an elephant? So she didn't have that worry either. But the point in all this is that Adam had a relationship with God. Eve submitted to that. Because of it, so she trusted God because she knew that Adam was in tune with the Lord, and she followed his lead because he led by example and not words. Eve knew in her heart of hearts that any decision Adam made was in the best interest of their marriage and would be according to the will of God. Now that, my friends, is true submission as the Lord intended for a man and a wife. The submission cannot happen, and that one could not happen unless they submitted to God. A wife will not submit to her husband until or unless both parties are submitted to God. So the whole point of this whole message is the fact that if you want a marriage of submission, why don't you submit to God and everything else will fall in line? Yeah. We're putting the cart before the horse. We're human beings. We're fallible. But if we put, I wouldn't want to trust man. I don't even trust myself sometimes, y'all. Okay? I'm just laying on out there. I need the Lord, okay? I need him sometime to get me through some things, okay? We all do. We're not perfect. But Eve saw that Adam was on it with God. She saw that example. She followed that example. And they were one flesh, just like Adam said. They were one flesh. They were one soul. They were one body in total unison. Now, we know what happened in chapter 3 with the fall. We don't know how long between chapter 3 and chapter 2 occurred. But we know for that one moment in time when they were both naked and unashamed, okay, that was the perfect union. Well, I don't know how long. It doesn't state in the Bible just how long the period is between chapter 2 and chapter 3. But for that moment, they had it. Exactly the way God wanted it. But unfortunately, it didn't last. And it hasn't happened since. It has not happened since. So, because every couple has fallen short one way or another. We all have to take a closer look at ourselves and say, you know what? In order for my marriage to be the most perfect union, I have to get myself right with God. My wife has to get herself right with God. And then we can get ourselves right with each other.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of marriages. They say, well, we've been married 35 years. And we what I've grown to know is I just let her do what she do. And she lets me do what I do. That you know, that's just getting along.
Right.
Okay. Y'all know what I mean. That's just, you know, you just accepting the fact that she's going to do what she do, you're going to do what you do. But that's not what the scriptures say. Let's just keep it real. The scripture says, Adam said it himself, we are one flesh. We should be on the same page. And the only way you can get on the same page with anybody, because two humans will never be on the same page without God. Right. But if you got God, God is only one page. And if you're both on that one page, you're on the same page. That's what I'm preaching on today. The marriage of submission is about, it isn't about a booty call, if I may use those words. It is about a marriage where you have submitted to God, therefore allowing yourself to submit to each other. If we do that, saints, the divorce rate will disappear. There won't be any divorce. There won't be any reason to worry about submission. I won't have to have this conversation. But this is what the Lord has told me, and I have to look within myself because I am married and say, okay, I need to do all the things that the men are supposed to do, have a relationship with God, pray daily, pray for my wife, go to church, respect our wives. And the women, my wife has to have a relationship with them too. She has to be supportive of me and supportive of herself. She needs to be praying for me. She needs to trust me. But she can't do any of that if I'm not right with God. And she can't do any of that if she's not right with God. So my prayer today, as in closing, I'm just going to ask God to help us in our relationship with him and our marriages. Because if we really want a marriage of submission, the perfect union, as God called it, we have to be close to him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come. Thank you, Father, for your words of correction, your words of love, and your teaching to
yes,
us, Lord.
Yes,
Father, we learned a lot in this message, Lord. It spanked us a few times, yes, but we learned a lot. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to tell us the truth.
Yes.
Father, help us, Lord, to come to you daily. Pray more. Pray for each other, Lord. Jesus. Help our marriage, Father. Help the man and the woman understand that it's not a competition, Lord. We should be on the same page, Lord. Help us, Lord, to seek you. We need you, Father, because only you can get us where we need to be in a marriage, Lord. Help us, Lord, to let go of the things that we think about that happened in the past. Right. It's not relevant, Almighty Father, but help us to understand the future. Keep our eye on you, Lord, and help us, Lord, to submit to you so we can submit to each other. Father, we thank you for the marriages that are out there. I thank you for my marriage, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for every marriage in this entire world. I pray, Lord, that your will be done and that every marriage will become a perfect union according to your good will. I thank you and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.